Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. In this one, I'm just going to go over a few of the back issues I purchased from mycomicshop.com. On the Superman titles, I'm going beyond 1973, but I'm just getting as much of a sequential run as I can. And I bought Superman number 250. Let's see. I'll look up really quick. If there's anything special about this one, I don't think there is. But it has a gunfighter on the cover. It might be Terra Man. I don't know. Let's see. Edit jump to 250. It's a 52 big pages for 20. Was it 25 cents? That's pretty damn good. Nothing interesting on this one in particular, because the first appearance of Terra Man is issue 249, so he might be in this issue, but it's not his first appearance. So he says, "My branding iron is making you older with every move you make, Superman. You'll drop dead of old age before you can reach me." And this was Superman 250. It was from 1972, and it was 52 pages for 25 cents. And it says on the top, the number one best-selling comics magazine. So I wonder if that's true. 1972. I would be shocked if that was the case, just because Marvel had a lot of books out at the time. Maybe it's the number one best-selling DC comic at the time. I don't know. It has also on there, it says extra, a super premium story, Superman's time capsule. I also picked up Superman 252, which is from 1972 as well, and it's one of those reprint print series. It says 100 action-packed pages of story and art from cover to cover. It's 50 cents. It's 100 pages. It has a cover with Superman flying and Supergirls flying and Shining Knight, Spectre, Red Tornado, Dr. Fate, and Hawkman and Hawkgirl. So a really interesting cover. And it says with the world's greatest flying heroes. It's one of those really thick ones, and one thing to notice is the copy I have has a really tight binding. I like it. It's got a couple cracks in it, but for being one of these thick ones, I like the shape of it. We then have Superman 253, so you can see I'm poking at a certain area, which is another reprint, Denny O'Neil, Kurt Swan issue. And it's a 52 page for only 25 cents, and has Superman holding a little boy, and he's like, "Billy, Billy, what's happening, dude? Tell me." And there's this weird cat, Lynx looks like, that's coming in the room, and he says, "But I am telling you, Superman, why can't you hear me?" Introducing a new series, A Kid Who Saves Superman. And then it has plus a Golden Age something, but it's cut off on the page. It's interesting. It's got like a miscut on this whole comic. I never noticed it before, but now that I gotta see why the cover is so jacked up. This was at 253. Yeah, it should say a Golden Age Superman Classic, but it looks like the cover that I have is totally miscut. Like it's one of those flawed covers. Yeah, it's just a miscut on the cover. It's interesting. It's a total printer miscut. But it's got a Golden Age Superman classic. Oh, this looks awesome inside. Wow, it's got a Kirby Unleashed portfolio in here to send away for. I need to read this. And it has an article, Just Imagine Another Ice Age. That's cool. than a Superman classic. I've been really digging into that Action Comics 85 years, and I've been enjoying the hell out of it. You talk about golden age stories that are pertinent to today's world, man. Holy crap. I am shocked how sophisticated that comic book is by Siegel and Schuster. It's amazing. So that's a cool issue. Even though it's miscut, it's in brilliant shape. The next one is 254, and it has a backup feature of the private life of Clark Kent. And this is when it goes back to 254. 20 cents. So it's not reprint, it's original story. And it has Superman over, it looks like the same kid that's in the previous issue. He's got the cat over his shoulder and he's on crutches. And he said, "From this moment on, Billy Anders, I bequeath all my superpowers to you." Very cool. So then we dig into, I got some Batman issues. And Batman, I'm not. Batman and the Detective, I'm not back to 1973. Even though I have a lot of books prior to that, I'm still missing a few in the 35 cent and 40 cent range of Batman I need to fill. So if we go to that one and I go to edit, jump to issue, and we look around for issue 290. This one is not anything special. It's even a strange writer at this time. It's David Reed. I'm with Mike Grill artwork though. That is interesting. Need to dig into that. I have 291. This one I did read already. I think I bought it digitally, but I read it when I was in Gotham by Geeks, I think. And I don't know if I ever reviewed it or not. But let's go back to 290. This one has a bunch of demons that are clutching Batman. And it looks like this weird supernatural devil guy. He kind of looks like Ra's, but not. He's shooting a cube, a death cube at him, that's implanting a skull on his forehead. And Batman is saying, "Skull Digger, a skull Dugger, killing that man right before my eyes, and I can't stop him. Something is holding me back." So that's an interesting one. And then 291, a nice villains cover. It has Batman died 1977. May he rest in peace. Burn in hell. Who is really guilty? The Riddler, the Catwoman, Lex Luthor, the Joker. In this issue is Catwoman, and it has all the villains saying, "I think I killed him." And the villains that are over his gravesite are Riddler, Poison Ivy, Scarecrow on one side. On the other side, you have Joker, Catwoman, and Lex Luthor. And yeah, that's a cool cover. So it's 291. That one has John Callahan art and David Reed is writing it again. Then we have 293. You can see I was focusing on an earlier area. This is 1977. See, I have like a really good run of earlier issues, but I have a good break in my Batman issues. 293. And Batman's a more expensive title to start filling in holes. This one had a very similar cover, I think, in a World's Finest issue. This one has a Lex Luthor cover, and he's like punching Batman and Superman. He says, "I've trapped you in Superman's body. I've trapped you in Batman's body, Superman. So when I kill him, you die." So 293 is also a David Reed and John Kalnin art. I picked up 297. And it's versus the Mad Hatter on this one. And it's got a bunch of villains that, like, just a bunch of, like, villains wearing different hats coming after Batman. Death wears a thousand different hats when Mad Hatter So that's that one. 297 is also David Reed with Rich Buckler art. We have Batman 324. So we jump into something else I was missing. When I talk about sequential, I think I have from like 318 on, and then I have a lot of other books, but not sequentially. So now I have 324, which fills that hole. And this is a versus Catman issue, and he's holding Catwoman. And it says, "Is this the end of Catwoman?" And he's, it looks like he's coming out of some sewer hole. I then bought Ghosts, Wonder Woman Annual. This was the only, I had told you how I skipped out on some annuals. This was the only annual I was missing. And this was the Ghosts theme. And now I have all Wonder Woman's, all volumes, except going back to 1973. So I'm covered on Wonder Woman. We jump into Action Comics. So let's go to Action. Action Comics. And I picked up 412. So in the Action and Superman, I'm going beyond 1973 now. So this is 412. So I go edit, jump to 412. This one is an Eclipso reprint story. It doesn't have Eclipso on the cover. It's another 52-page book for 25 cents. It's an interesting cover because it looks like they're below ground of a city like Metropolis. And it's got a hole that's going to the pavement of like a road. And he like it's like Superman burrowed his way into the ground and found a secret metropolis. And some guy in a purple outfit saying, "Now do you believe my city exists under your Superman? The secret of the first metropolis." So it's like a buried Aztec city, but under Metropolis. We also I got 413, which is an Eclipso and Metamorpho reprint stories. And this one has a really cool cover. It's another 52-page size quarter issue. It's 413. It the 412 is Cary Bates. 413 is Bob Haney and Alex Toth. The other one was Cary Bates and Kurt Swan. And this guy has like a voodoo doll of Superman, and he's hitting it with like a death pin, and Superman's clutching in pain. And it says the voodoo dome of Superman plus the one of a new series with Metamorpho. So it's got a Metamorpho series. And then we got 416. And I'm glad that I'm doing this because I didn't mark this one. This helps me, guys. I might have got a duplicate if I didn't, if I fucked that up. This one has some woman that's handicapped in a wheelchair, and Superman's busting in because there's a fire in the building. And she's saying, "Stay away, Superman. After you made me a cripple, I'd rather die than let you save me." And it says, "Superman, you scare me to death," plus a Metamorpho story. So, and then it has a David Michelinie letters column in this one. So I thought I'd point that out. Letting Harley out. That takes me through that batch of books. And then I have a few more that I'm going to mention on this one, and then save the rest for the next issue. So there's a series called Dog Witch, and I haven't completed it yet. But like the Charles Forsman, I wanted to buy every Charles Forsman comic book, and I did that. And I fell in love with White, which was a book by this creator that I went out on a tangent to buy all of his creations, and it's Daniel Schafer. And he does writing and art. And I think this is his first book from 2003. It was from Cyrus, which I don't think I own anything from Cyrus, but it's called Dog Witch. And I bought several of them, but I got a ways to go. It ran from 2003 to 2008. And the description is driven over the edge of sanity by a violent death of her sister, You'll find out that this guy's book, with the exception of White, all deal with crazy houses or insanity. Very much like Charles Forsman deals in the theme of depression and suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. This guy deals with stuff in psycho wards and stuff like that. And so, a violent death of her sister, a particular nasty and public beheading, she blames herself. Ex-rocker Violet Grimm made a pact with a mysterious character in exchange for a powerful dark magic. Now, along with Dolores, a disfigured living doll, and Ralph, the stuffed dog, she deals with seemingly endless cast of supernatural foes. Never one to shy away from the spotlight, Violet guarantees her fame won't fade away by filming underground videos of all the nasty adventures. So, yeah, this is something I'm gonna be digging into, and for some reason, some of these issues are so hard to find. I got one, two, three, four. I'm missing five. I got six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. I'm missing 13 through 16 and issue 18. And I think issue 18 is the last issue. So, another series that I just picked up. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you later. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back with the weekly reads. Bye. Hello, and welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I've been sicker than a dog, and it caused me to think about some changes in my collecting because I couldn't breathe for about a week and a half. But I'll be going over that in a few episodes on what I'm going to do. It made me realize a lot because I buy way more than I can possibly read. I could barely, I have so many comics right now that I could stop getting comics entirely and probably have enough reading material until like I'm 80 years old at the rate I'm going right now. So, yeah, it got me to thinking about stuff. And I took some action on it, and I'll be talking about that in a future episode. But it's really not affecting anything on my podcast, and it's not affecting anything on the style because if I want to read it, I'm going to read it. Just depends on how I'm going to read it. Might be digital. I don't know. If Bill selects a book and I didn't buy it, then I could go read it on Comixology. There's very few exceptions where that would occur where I couldn't. Like if it was Scout Comics, I think, or something like that. But we haven't reviewed a lot of Scout Comics, so I don't know. So there's, what the fuck? I'll just talk about this right now. So I placed my DCBS order, and then it gives you a time to edit it. And while I was sick, actually, I had to do two things. We have a guest coming, and I had to get the kitchen and stuff clear of comic book clutter, and it was a difficult task. And I have been, I kid you not, filling one short box almost a week of comic books. So the growth of storage and stuff was getting is getting like crazy. So I got to thinking, and I was like, Marvel's starting with a lot of number ones. I could keep getting them until they relaunch them on number one, and I usually don't read Marvel like when it comes out anyway. There's very few exceptions to the rule, and it's usually 6 months after it's already been out, so why not just go to my Marvel Unlimited with the Marvel? And it was a tough decision because I decided not to get like Amazing Spider-Man, Captain America. I could just wait till 6 months. I'm gonna try to keep the Marvel titles to about 10 in print, and then read everything else digitally, and see how that goes. And so that helped me reduce. And then there were some trades I had on there, and I was like, you know what? Is this necessary? Do I already have access to this material in paper or in another, in a way to do it digital like Marvel Unlimited. So that influenced something. I did decide to keep getting the Epic collections and being all in on them, and that might change in the future, but we'll see. And yeah, Harley's over there squeezing her toy. She's playing. And then I thought to think, well, how many image books am I freaking reading? Just on average. Well, I read 3 or 4 every 2 weeks for Geek Brunch. And I was like, do I enjoy them? Yeah, usually. But do I usually continue? N not until Bill gets a trade, which is like 6 months later from when the number one came out. So I'm thinking that maybe I don't need to get all the Image number ones, and I can just, if Bill wants to cover one, I could just pop it on Comixology. That's $3.99 as opposed to 20 or 30, maybe, or 40 Image books at $3.99, and I'll be saving money that way and space. But I'll be reading whatever I need to read like I'm reading it now. So that made sense. And it's letting me complete the series that are already going on. While new number ones come, I will not probably get them in print and see how things go. And right now I'm at peace with it. We'll see how things go because I have tried to do this before, and then a month later I am back up. But I am pretty. I think once I get over the hurdle of when it actually happens, which is like 2 months from now, once I get past that and the psychological damage that it'll do, then I'll be all right. And like Spider-Man was 2 times a month, X-23 was 2 times a month. I mean, at least in issues 1 and 2. So I have no problem with, like, if I want to read it, put it on Marvel Unlimited. I did decide my Valiant's gonna be unaffected now, just because, and my DC is gonna be unaffected, and Dynamite's gonna be unaffected at this point in time. And then the books that I'm getting, I'm gonna continue to get. It's just kind of dwindling down the number ones, and I had way more trades that I have so many freaking trades. I can't even get into the room right now. It's all stacked and stacked. Ivy knows you've seen it, and it's only gotten worse. And what I need to do is get the desks out of there and get more wall units up, and then I think I'm okay. But I gotta reduce my collected edition intake, I think. Either that or get another climate controlled storage unit. So I don't know. There's a lot to think about. And space is holy crap. You know, you think a short box is hundreds of books a week. Yeah, there was a lot of thought that went into it. And so that's what happened, and I reduced the order pretty significantly. It was the bill originally was higher than normal by about $100, and I'm not going to tell you what a normal is because it's a lot. It's way more, and I'll tell you right now, even though I did cut back, I'm buying more than you buy. I'm just telling you right now, even with the cuts. So, we'll see how things go, and we'll see if it gets smaller with relaunching of titles and see what happens. And there's certain characters that I just won't stop on. Like Daredevil's always going to be safe. Black Panther will always be safe. Fantastic Four should always be safe. I'll probably always get an Avengers book. Maybe not all of them. I'll probably always get X-Men. Cap was tough. Amazing Spider-Man was tough. Thor, I'll probably keep up with.
So that, I'm looking, and then an event book. So I'm looking at, like, 10 titles I'll be keeping up. But I decided, like, no on Cosmic Ghost Rider and a couple other things, because I could read that. I could read that 6 months, and it wouldn't be any different from what I'm doing now. So, yeah, there's some interesting stuff going on, and it really is the light turned on when I couldn't breathe for a week. And then I got hooked up to, what do you call it, a nebulizer, and I could breathe, and I still felt similar. Although when I start looking at previews, it gets rough. So you'd say, I'll stop looking at previews. Well, I'm not. I'm gonna keep looking at previews, and we'll see how this goes. And it shouldn't affect any of my podcasts. The retro is gonna be the retro. I'll still be reading old books. Geek Brunch, I'll still be reading new number ones and new number stuff. I'll just be reading it differently. And maybe even doing trade like Bill. Like, if I find something I like that was read digitally and I really enjoy it and I think that trade will be good, then maybe I'll read the trade or buy the trade. So and then if Nick tells me, hey, there's a sale on this trade, maybe that'll influence me buying a cheap trade on Comixology because it's on sale. So we'll see how things go. And the only thing I'm really gonna miss is I really don't like reading digitally. I read because it's convenient in certain parts, but as I grow older, my eyes are turning different. Like, I'm getting to the point where I'm gonna need progressive lenses, and I usually read with my glasses off. And kind of get like a mild headache from the LED screens. It's hard to explain, but I'm looking at a screen all day long, so it's hard to do that. But even if I didn't, I have so much print, and I'm still going to be getting a lot of print. So it's just changing my mind. Like, and I don't keep caught up. Like Martin has Comics Talk today. He reads, I don't know, 15 to 25 books, maybe more a week, and it's all current. It's like what came out that week. I can't do that. That's not me. I have to read what I want to read when I want, and I still can do that. So we'll see how things go. Plus, it'll make my Sunday a little more pleasing because Sunday has turned into comic book inventory day, where I have to scan in all the books. I have to take care of digital codes. I have to organize them. I have to bag and board them. I have to merge them into books that I haven't read yet. And by reducing it, it's going to get a lot less. The time's going to get a lot less. I can read more, things like that. So we'll see how it goes. And probably touch base with you about it in a couple of months when it actually goes into effect, and we'll see what it goes. But let's just say I reduced my intake from, I don't know how much would it have gone down. Let's just say several $100, and I'm still over way more than anybody else spends. I can guarantee that. At least they're anybody I know, and I'm talking about big time collectors. So even though the reduction is there, it's not really there. You just don't comprehend how much I buy. So yeah, we'll see. And a lot of those publishers, the stuff is available digitally, so if I want to read it, I can read it. If I really want to read it, and it might influence my collected edition purchase, or it might just say I'll wait digitally and then keep reading it and see how things go there. But yeah, there's several factors coming into it. Time, work has been great, and I haven't been able to read that much because I'm working a lot of overtime. A lot of factors, and if you know what, if I miss something, there'll always be back issues. I could always fill it in. I'm still filling in back issues right now, of things that I missed. So it's not going anywhere. It's just a little bit more engineering thought into what I'm buying, which should be good. I gave myself like an intervention because of my lack to breathe. It's like, yeah, I could die. What is gonna where's this collection going? Yeah, so that was a little chit chat. Let's talk about some weekly reads. I mean, what I read for the week. So this will take me back to July 10th of 2017 to July 16th of 2017. It was a low week, and this will kind of gauge why I'm doing what I'm doing. Just looking at the statistics for these 2 weeks. Only read 13 books that week. One Valiant, one Titan, seven Marvel, two Image, one IDW, one Dark Horse. Starting at the bottom at the 3 out of 5s, which mean I liked it. We have Helena Crash. It was a future coffee is outlawed, and she is a courier that delivers the goods, and she is being hunted down by those she supplies. So that it was a pretty interesting read. The art is a little unusual, but it fit the story. Enjoyed it. The next 3 out of 5 was Redneck number 1. It was like the Hatfields versus the McCoys, the Valiants vampires versus priests. So that was a pretty good one. We then get into the 4 out of 5s, which means I really liked it. We have the Mighty Captain Marvel number 0. It establishes her status quo of leading the Alpha Flight to protect the Earth from alien threats, and she's a workaholic. We have Cage 3 and 4, where Cage and his friends versus amorphic characters to find out who is the best fighter to take on the master, and it is Cage. And this was the Cage that was drawn by the guy that does that samurai cartoon. I can't remember what it's called on Cartoon Network. But it wasn't like the Max series or anything. This was, it looked like the animated, like if they were to take Cage and go an animated style to Cartoon Network. I'll even get the artist real quick. I'll pull up my comic base here. So we got Cage. And it's Cage with an exclamation point, and it's Gendry Tarvanowski. And I think I read the entire series. Yeah, I read all 4 issues. It's a good series. And Cage's the next one I read was Luke Cage 1 through 2. This was the Marvel one that just ended recently, I think. Cage's creator scientist commits suicide, so we think, and you find out that there were many people who received the potion, but it made them crazy that gave him his strength. There is a drug that keeps them sane, and the female scientist is captured to try to recreate it. So that was Luke Cage. We then get into another 4 out of 5 of Harbinger Renegade, number 5. Several Gen Zero characters die, as well as hardcore members as they fight. Charlie's sent to go after someone else at the end. And I really enjoyed this series. A lot of people were up in arms about it. It never seemed to really finish either. Like, it's like we gotta wait for Harbinger Wars kind of thing. But it's like this one, I think they had a path. It wasn't selling well. They didn't like the direction with Rafer Roberts. And they decided to go against the grain and wait for Harbinger Wars 2. So we'll see how that goes as compared to this. But I enjoyed it. We have Predator versus Dread versus Aliens. The judges follow an Archbishop Emoji into the marshlands. That's right, I said Emoji. Hybrids and scientists capture the Predator. They're going to use facehuggers on judges, and the art was fantastic. We have Normandy Gold number 1. A female sheriff has to go undercover to find her sister's killer in a prostitution ring. Another 4 out of 5 was Divided States of Hysteria. A cheating CIA agent tries to prevent a terrorist attack. Seems like there's a lot of arrests of terrorists and serial killers to possibly form a team. A really good series. That was Howard Chaykin. Then a 5 out of 5, the only one at 5 out of 5 was the infamous Iron Man 8 and 9. Reed tries to recruit Ben to kill Victor, and Victor is arrested by S.H.I.E.L.D. and Iron Man, but escapes with the help from his mom. Yeah, that's right, I said Victor Von Doom's mom. Ben meets with Johnny to tell him about Reed, and makes some great jokes about him and Medusa, because if you remember in the Inhumans title, Johnny was with Medusa, and there were some great moments. My favorite is still with Black Bolt, as he looked at him and said, "If you do wrong by her," and he blows out a fucking candle. It's like, "I'm putting you out, motherfucker." So that was 5 out of 5, infamous Iron Man 8 and 9. And if that did sound like the Fantastic Four, it was the Fantastic Four with an infamous Iron Man title to it by Brian Michael Bendis. Really fantastic series. If you're a fan of the Marvel team-up, you should go back and read this infamous Iron Man. Should be all available on Comixology right now. I mean, Marvel Unlimited. I'm going to do one more week, and then you can see another low week. And another reason why I'm making decisions like I'm making. There were only 16 books read that week. This is for July 17th through July 23rd. We had a total of 16 books, one Titan, 3 Marvel, one Image, one IDW, one Dynamite, 9 DC. Good distribution these both weeks, but very low intake. And they were all 4 out of 5s. There were no 3 out of 5s, no 5 out of 5s, and none of the ones that were below that. We have Freeway Fighter from Titan, a story of a female-type Road Warrior character, and it was pretty doggone good. Art was pretty solid from Titan Comics. We have Avengers Unplugged, number 4, The Wedding of Titania and Absorbing Man. And if you don't know where these two characters got hooked up, you need to read Secret Wars, the original, where the action figures came out of, and Spider-Man costume, the black one, the symbiote came off of. All of the villains have to hold off the Avengers for this wedding to occur. We have Ghost Rider number 50. This is the Danny Ketch Ghost Rider. Death of Blaze's family. Danny and Ghost Rider are reborn. Hellgate captures Vengeance, which was another Ghost Rider character that was in the title. And Flag Smasher shows up at the end. This was, you know, why I was going back to the Danny Ketch. I was filling in holes so I can complete the Ghost Rider Volume 2. And see, that's another one of my points for reduction, because now I get in a Ghost Rider mood for Danny Ketch. I could go back and fill that holes. And I'm almost done, I think there's only like 2 issues left of this that I need to buy. Let's check it out. Ghost Rider. That was volume 2. And let's just scan it at a high level. I mean, I'm missing issue 53. And annual number 2. Number 82. So 53, 82, and annual number 2. And then I've completed all of Ghost Rider Volume 2, which was 93 issues and 2 annuals. So, not bad. That was one that I purchased to get closer to that goal. It was number 50. We have Inhumans Prime number 1. It's a transition book from AVX, and Maximus is trying to control the Inhumans. They imprison him in space. They give up their royalty and look towards the stars. Marvel Boy shows up. Good issue, and I really loved I vs. X, which was Inhumans vs. X-Men. It's a good follow-up story to kick off the two books, which were Black Bolt and the Royals. We have Star Trek Deviations number 1. This is a one-shot, and it's what if the Star Trek Next Generation group was overcome by Romulans. Riker is the only one that seems to remember things the way they were. And This was a good issue, and I'm not the biggest Next Generation fan. Matter of fact, I've only seen like 4 episodes and I couldn't stomach it anymore. Even though in college, when I was studying, my wife was very dedicated to the show. I'd go over to study at her house, and she would be watching Next Generation, and I would be studying and gladly be studying because I didn't get into the show. So that's kind of how I feel. I've never liked Picard. I've never gotten into any of those characters, Data or Number One or any of them. I never could get them to him because it didn't seem like they were Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Scotty, Chekhov, the characters that I loved. And my brain just couldn't adapt. But this was a good series, even though I don't really care for the characters. Good story. We have Centipede Number One from Dynamite. A lone survivor plots a war against the creature that destroyed humanity. Very unusual title. Started off stronger than I think it ended. But it was still a really solid title. Girl Scouts Number Two. This was the Magic Socks book. Josie attacks the girl with the Girl Scouts, the origin of the Magic Socks, from Image Comics. We then have Batman 611 through 619. I think I got into the Breyfogle book for this. And I'll verify that. Batman always takes one of the longest periods of times to come up because of the sheer amount of issues that it has. But if we go into edit, jump 608, I think is where I was saying. I think it's a. Wow. I was way off. 611. I'm getting old. 611 was the Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee Hush arc. God, I don't remember rereading Hush. That's unusual. But I guess I read the all 12 parts. I probably read the Hush trade. I just don't remember doing it, rereading it. But I gave it the highest 4 out of 5. It was 611 through 619. Riddler is the villain who instigated Thomas Elliot. Thought it was Jason and possibly Harvey Dent. He breaks up with Catwoman because he thinks he manipulated by Hush. And it's the death of Harold. So, interesting stuff. And very interesting because I don't remember rereading Hush. But that's what it is, Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee. So I'm glad you listened. Again, you can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch. Send me your thoughts about what my cutbacks are, and if you want to help with my intervention or give me insight to what you think. Is it good? Is it bad? Or what are your thoughts? Let me know on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, or you can send me an email, mike@comicbooknoise.com. And Facebook page is Geek Brunch Podcast. The website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you can leave feedback there as well. And if you get a chance, leave an iTunes review. Let me know what you think. Feedback is always welcome. I could use some questions for upcoming episodes, so send them out anytime and I will answer them. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you and talk to you very, very soon. As you could probably hear that I'm sounding better. I'm finally healing. Mike is coming to visit this weekend, so I won't be podcasting. Last weekend, I was too sick to podcast Geek Brunch. The weekend before that, I was at my niece's birthday and celebrated Mother's Day. So I haven't been able to do retro or Geek Brunch, but hopefully this weekend, Chris and Rob will get to record together. And I will release it as soon as they get me the episode. So I hope they get to. We'll see if that happens. And we'll talk to you very, very soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.